Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I am not here with Candace Jones this week, but I am here with Craig Wilson. How's it, Craig?
Yeah, good. Thanks. And you, Duncan?
Good. Thanks. Thanks for coming through to do the podcast. You start officially at Tech Central next Wednesday, is it?
I do, yeah. Only a pleasure coming through. Just had to chip the ice off my tyres, you know.
Great. Yeah, no, it's freezing out there.
Otherwise, yeah. Nice to be here.
Great. Well, thanks for coming through. I thought let's actually start this week with something perhaps only obliquely technology related, but there's been a certain amount of talk about it on Twitter and Facebook and elsewhere in the last couple of days. And this is this load shedding schedule, which was published where on the City of Johannesburg website?
On the City Power website.
Power website. Okay. With the load shedding schedule showing which suburbs can expect to lose their power and when. And this immediately prompted speculation that load shedding is back. But Craig, it's not actually true. They just published the schedule in case there's load shedding.
Yeah, it's a sort of preemptive measure, yeah. I gather. But it caused a lot of confusion. I gather a lot of people, and of course there was a lot of outrage because I believe certain areas like Bryanston were listed as they were going to be out during, you know, office hours, sort of early in the afternoon. Supposedly my area is going to be out from 6 to 10, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, if it's out.
Okay.
But yeah, I gather that it's only if Eskom decide they need to do it, they've just got the schedule up so that you can be prepared.
Yeah, some areas do seem to have pulled the short straw. I know the power here will be out between 6 and 10 on a Tuesday and a Thursday and on Saturdays and Sundays. But since I'm usually asleep on the weekends before 10 o'clock, it doesn't matter too much. And I suppose my laptop will keep me going if there's a power outage in the morning. But
until that day, you forget to charge it, yeah.
Of course, yes. Although I'm quite religious about that these days. Although the mug and beans are great around here. They've all got, internet solutions, Wi-Fi connectivity and power points and all the rest of it. So
there are options.
There are options.
And it could be good for some businesses, assuming they have power.
Yes. Just drive around until you find an area with power and then plug in your laptop and carry on working.
What I was amazed to see was the quick reaction. You know, people were talking about it all over Twitter and there was a combination of outrage and other people going, well, at least they've told us. And then the confusion when some people said, oh, I think that schedule's actually old. Mm. I'm not sure that that timetable's up to date. And
Apparently it is up to date. This is the new schedule, but it's not being enforced yet.
Well, let's hope that we get a few more weeks of respite before it does come in.
Well, we seem to have made it through this first cold snap without too many problems. So.
Yeah.
But Eskom's probably running at 99.9% of capacity right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if one power station goes down or there's a problem at Cooburg, I think we might have problems. So, yeah, I guess the data center operators are particularly affected by this. All investing, I suppose, in alternative energy sources. I know MTN has been quite aggressive in using natural gas as an alternative to electricity, getting off the grid.
Right.
Or creating their own grids.
Well, that's right. And perhaps all those shopping malls and so on that went and bought generators a few years ago only to not use them as much as they'd anticipated might finally see some return on that investment.
Yeah, indeed. Cool. Well, let's move on and talk a bit about the new Department of Communications Director General. This is a position that's been vacant since last July, I think, when Sipiwe Nyanda, the ex-minister, and his director general, Mamadupi Motlhala, had the most spectacular of possible falling outs.
And quite a public one, wasn't it?
Very public, accusing each other of various things in the media, and it got ugly. I'm not sure if there's any lawsuits still going on there, but Mamadupi Motlhala is now, of course, head of the National Consumer Commission. And Sipiwe Nyanda, what's he doing now? He's Zuma's advisor to Parliament, whatever that means.
Right.
Now, apparently, I seem to recall he was offered the ambassadorship to Germany, but he didn't want it, so he was made Zuma's parliamentary advisor. But he said we certainly haven't heard a thing from him since he was appointed to that position several months ago now. Rosie Sekese is the new director general in the department. I must admit I don't know much about her. She's been there for the past 6 years or so, or 5 years, 6 years, 2006, 2011, yeah, 6 years. Asked people in the industry what they think of her, people who know her, and I sort of get a mixed sort of view. It had been quite widely expected that Phakamile Pongwana, who was a former deputy director general and temporarily an acting director general when Andile Ngxaba left the DOC, he'd been expected to get the job. But I don't know, it looks like maybe he didn't want it. And Rosie Sekese has been appointed to the position. I guess I've put in for an interview, so hopefully we'll get to know her a bit better. The DOC is promising an interview next week, so we'll see.
Fantastic.
Great. The big news this week, of course, was, and not just local, but internationally, was the announcement by Microsoft of the big upgrade to their smartphone operating system called Mango, oddly enough. I wonder if they're trying to compare it to Apple.
Yes.
In fact, someone joked at the press conference that asked them whether they were trying to compare themselves with Apple, and the Microsoft spokesman said, well, you know, mangoes do taste sweeter.
Well, that's also, I think, a joke in PR circles, is if you want to start a PR company, pick a color, pick a fruit, and yes, there's your company name.
Yes. Yeah. Of course, we've got Mango Airlines owned by SAA. Yeah,
indeed.
I wonder if there are any trademark issues around that. I don't suppose Microsoft needs to register the trademark here. It's effectively Windows Mobile, Windows Phone 7.1. That's the correct technical term for it. Have you had a chance to look at the release and the videos? And
I've done some reading about it. I think the exciting, most exciting aspect for South African consumers is that we will supposedly have access to 90% of the updates, and that the marketplace should go live pretty much immediately. And while initially you'll only be able to buy apps via credit card, they are looking to integrate operator billing soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah,
And I think that level of functionality is really nice and a pleasant change for South Africans, when often, you know, app stores are limited, or you need to bypass the sort of login system to actually get access to the full gamut of apps available.
And apparently all the apps that are available in the US App Store will be available in South Africa as well.
Which is fantastic.
Which is really interesting, because you know, Apple doesn't offer the Games Center apps here, for example.
Absolutely.
I still haven't been able to get a coherent response out of Apple in Europe as to why we don't have the games in the Apple App Store here. But the sort of general view out there, and I don't know if it's correct, but the general view out there is that it's the Film and Publications Board is required to approve all of the games before they're made available in the South African market. So I'm not sure whether Microsoft is simply ignoring
them. I was going to ask whether they've just ignored it and thought, well, we'll try now. And
the games in the Android store, which launched here a week or so ago. Maybe they're just ignoring the FPB. Maybe that's the way to go. Maybe Apple's just following the letter of the law a little too closely.
Try it now, say sorry later approach.
Exactly, But it's great that everything that's going to be available in the US store is going to be available to South African consumers as well. The exception being the Zune Music Store. That's not coming here yet.
Right.
Which is a pity, because I really like the Zune application for Windows. I've I changed my settings and control panel to the US, and it's great software. You know, you fire it up and it provides you with, you fire up a song and it'll provide you with information from Wikipedia or somewhere about what you're listening to, with artist images and all that sort of thing, just fed over the internet. It's the best media jukebox music player software that I've used on any platform. It's really, really good.
What's one of the sad things is so many of these sort of programs that are coming out and doing really well. I mean, even obviously, well, not doing really well yet, but Google Music in beta, and Spotify, and a lot of the sort of streaming services just aren't available here.
Yeah, that's a pity.
Some of them, there are ways to get around it again, but you'll have to Google those for yourself.
Yeah. That's you use proxies and stuff to...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And hidden IPs and that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's actually pretty easy to do. You just actually go to a website and type in an address and you can do it. Yeah. But it's still a bit of a pain. Have you seen the website Grooveshark?
Grooveshark.com.
It's worth checking
out. Oh, sorry, Grooveshark. Grooveshark. Yes, I have. Someone sent it to me just last week, actually.
That works fine here. So I wonder why they can do it and Spotify can't.
I think Spotify, it's to do with licensing. They've only secured deals with the majors in a handful of countries. I believe it has something to do with that, and as a result they can't stream elsewhere. But as you said, but
Grooveshark does it.
But
Grooveshark is a free service. I'm not sure how legal it is.
Right,
but I mean, they're still going, and it's great. You know, they've got just about any song you've ever heard of. You type it in and it automatically starts streaming it to you.
Yeah, I have a friend who's very evangelical about it.
Yeah.
But coming back to Windows 7 for a minute, I think, all of these updates are really interesting, and the fact that they're coming out here so aggressively. But what I'd be interested to see too is, there was some talk I saw this week about a lot of people saying that much of what they're going to be offering in these updates isn't so much new as playing catch up with Android and iOS. Some people have suggested that Windows 7 is still only, beginning to keep up with Android and iOS, who are obviously the market leaders. I believe Android currently holds about 50% of market share in the US.
Yeah, they're certainly coming from behind in the smartphone space. And I saw Steve Ballmer, I think he was in Poland or somewhere last week, admitting that they brought Windows Phone 7 to market a year later than they wanted to.
Which is enormous in that industry.
Absolutely. Yes. So they're definitely playing catch up here, but they're doing some really, really interesting things. I mean, the deal with Nokia is huge for them. That's going to give them a... I mean, Nokia shipped... The figure they used at the Microsoft press conference was Nokia shipped 400 million devices last year, of which 100 million were smartphones.
It's astounding. Yeah.
Now, if all of those 100 million are going to be running Windows Phone 7, and assuming Nokia doesn't lose significant market share in the next 6 to 12 months, then Windows, I think Windows Phone is going to take a big chunk of this market, and they're going to be right back in there. I think it would definitely be wrong at this stage to write off Microsoft in this game.
No, indeed, and Nokia, because for a long time it looked like Nokia were writing themselves off with far too many phones, far too many sort of average phones, and are locked into an OS that people just didn't connect with.
That's right.
I think Microsoft, it really feels in a way like Microsoft have just turned around in the last couple of weeks. You know, with between that and the Skype acquisition, they suddenly seem to be a company with real prospects who's really making big moves that will shake it up.
Yeah, I've written a couple of pieces about this recently. You're right. It's like a new Microsoft. I don't think it's happened just in the last couple of weeks. I think it's been coming for a while. The momentum has been building.
Mm, absolutely.
They've been building great software. I mean, Windows 7 on the desktop is an excellent operating system. I'm sure, it's not as sexy as Mac OS X with the wavy dock and all the rest of it, but Windows 7 is a solid operating system. I think in the all the time I've been using it, I've seen the infamous blue screen of death once, whereas you used to see it all the time in older versions of Windows, especially the Windows 9 X series. It's great software, and Office 2010 is superb, and they're doing well in the gaming space with the Xbox. I think in part because Sony keeps shooting itself in the foot.
yes.
And Windows Phone 7, I had a brief chance to play with it at the press conference, and this Mango update looks very impressive indeed. I actually have a feeling that Apple is falling behind. I know that's probably a bit of a controversial thing to say, given that they recently overtook Microsoft and to be the biggest technology company in the world by market value, and everyone's just talking Apple all the time, and everyone just wants their products. But if you actually look at the iPhone interface and the iPad interface, and this is a point the Microsoft guy made, which I actually am tending to agree with, is it's just a collection of applications that you dive in and out of, whereas Android and Windows Phone 7 are much more integrated. You get a flow of information. You've got live information on your home screen, whereas on the Apple it's very app focused.
And it's all sort of it's very separated and split up. You have to go into individual things. Whereas there's a lot more integration.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the iPad, it drives me crazy. You close the instant messaging application, for example, and you're no longer going to get messages. Mm. Well, it might send you a push message, but that's not ideal. You want that application running in the background.
So you want seamless multitasking.
Exactly. And Mango supports multitasking, as does Android. So Apple's looking a bit, getting a bit behind. I think when the iPhone was originally released, it was revolutionary. That touch interface, it was gorgeous. But the competition has been catching up, and I think that they may be on the verge of overtaking Apple.
Absolutely. And also, we should bear in mind that the iPhone still only enjoys really slightly less than 20% market share in the US. Which, in a sense, compared to Android, isn't enormous. Mm. If anything, perhaps they will become a little bit more niche. There are a lot of loyalists who won't use anything except
Apple.
But then also, a lot of the apps for Apple are and for iPhones are coming out on other platforms. Things like, I believe, Instagram are looking to launch an Android version.
Okay.
And I know that some people have said, there are certain apps I can get on my iPhone that I can't get on any other platform, but I think that's going to change. And then, as you said, whether there's motivation to stick with the brand remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Especially considering that you can get such good smartphones now for a fraction of the price, or at least a fair few thousand rand off.
Yeah.
Apple remains a premium product with a very particular
which is their focus. Yeah, I mean, it's extraordinary that they've actually had so much of the smartphone market until now. In the computer space, they've always been a niche. They've never had more than 10 or 12% of the market, and I wonder if that's just going to be the case in the smartphone market long term, where the real battle is going to be between Microsoft and Google. Android versus Windows Phone 7 rather than Apple being a significant player in this market. I suspect that Apple will become a niche on smartphones and tablets over time, and that the real war is going to take place between Android and Windows.
Certainly, and I think the next couple of months are going to be really interesting. You know, pretty much everyone who conceivably could make a tablet is doing so.
Yeah.
And I think the next few months are going to be really interesting to see what people come out with, and where that puts the iPad 2 and how it affects sales.
Mm. Got no doubt that Steve Jobs is brewing up something for his next keynote.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I mean, let's not get too depressed or get too negative about their prospects. I'm sure that
I think Apple have surprised us time and again with absolutely revolutionary products,
and we don't know what's coming in iOS 5 yet.
Exactly, and they're unlikely to stop anytime soon. And the iPhone 5's due shortly.
But I think the message here is that the Apple devices need to become more interactive. They need to offer true multitasking. They need to They need to become more than just a collection of apps.
Yeah. You know? Indeed.
Great. Looking to the telecoms market, some interesting news on the DSL side of things this week. Telkom finally confirmed that they're increasing the speed for their 512 customers, or most of their 512 kilobit per second customers, to 1 megabit a second, and at no extra cost. And MWeb promptly announced that they would be migrating all of those customers to the new 1 meg service at no additional charge. So good news if you're a broadband user.
Well, good news if you're a 512 broadband user.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, 384 users haven't seen any such benefit.
Yeah.
But considering also how cheaper a 512K line at the moment is.
How much is a 512K line? I haven't looked.
I think you can get one with a sort of uncapped, although albeit shaped package.
Oh, it's $599.
In the range of, 500 to 600 rand?
Yeah, that's right.
And if that's been boosted to a meg now, that's... That's quite it's a stark contrast to just 2 years ago. Mm.
I guess they'll move the 384 customers eventually. I wonder why they didn't do it now. Maybe they wanted to just get this upgrade out the way and then start to migrate the 384 customers. Because, I mean, Greg, 384, you can't call it broadband, can you?
No.
it's like slightly upgraded from dial-up.
Yeah, it's still like continental drift and just without the annoying dial-up noise.
Yes.
But perhaps we say that. I mean, I know a lot of people for whom a 384 uncapped line is, they consider it completely sufficient and...
Mm.
Aside from the fact that they have to pause and let their videos buffer a bit before they watch them.
I suppose if you just maximize the line speed, you can leech a lot of content on a 384.
Absolutely,
yeah. And those 384 uncapped products are actually pretty damn cheap.
Yeah, they're incredibly affordable. Mm. I mean, particularly if you're not a particularly heavy user, or as you said, alternatively, if you set things up to run overnight, you can actually really get your money's worth.
Yeah.
But yes, hopefully those users will be seeing an upgrade soon too.
Mm.
I did see some complaining online about how they felt they'd been left out in the cold a bit this time around.
Yeah.
But it's great. I mean, you know, things have just changed so much in such a short period, and it seems like every few weeks something's getting faster, someone's offering a cheaper uncapped product. Although curiously, of course, in America, there's a lot of talk now about companies going back to capped products.
Yes.
Granted, capped at 50 or more gigs.
Yes, but, or 200 or 300 or more gigs, I think, in most of the cases.
Right, but how that's become they're sort of going backwards, and here we're just getting used to the idea that we can actually get uncapped lines.
Yes, I think the telcos there are kind of... preempting the rise of services like Netflix and
absolutely and the streaming video and high bandwidth usage.
But the US market is curiously uncompetitive compared to many other markets around the world. They've got two or three dominant operators there and not much else,
and that's it. A bit like the political system, really.
indeed but It's good news to see these upgrades happening on the fixed line network. Ultimately, what we want to see, of course, is fiber to the home.
Yes.
So that's going to be at least a couple of years away still, probably five or more. It's nice to dream. A great meeting with a lady called Juanita Clark this morning, who's head of CEO of a new industry body called the FTTH Council Africa. FTTH obviously stands for fiber to the home. And they're going to be lobbying hard and talking to government, municipalities and industry, etc., about how to get... fiber to the home and other types of fiber out into the country. So they're going to be, they're talking about hosting a conference, and they're looking at pushing the technology quite hard. So
well, I'll be really curious to see what it, I mean, what the first version of it costs, but
yes. Yeah.
Still, it's a nice to have, and it'd be great for people. You know, there are increasingly people who are working from home, running home businesses.
For sure.
And there's certainly a market.
Definitely.
Then again, there's also gamers, and you know they're going to be keen.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. For sure. Speaking of fiber, interesting news this week is that Dark Fiber Africa has completed its link from Mtanzini on the KZN North Coast to Gauteng. 350 million rand cost, and it is the first open access fiber system connecting
that.
Johannesburg to the undersea cables that landed at Mtanzini, namely SAFE or SAT3 SAFE, CECOM, and the new EZ cable. So I was chatting to one of the DFA directors this week, and he was saying that this could have quite a big impact on national backhaul prices. There have only been two companies providing links between Gauteng and these undersea cables, namely Telkom and state-owned broadband InfraCo, and it'll be interesting to see what an open access cable system has on those prices, and to what extent they're going to get passed on to the users of internet service providers.
Absolutely, and the DFA also talking about running another, doing a similar project up the West Coast.
Sorry, which company is that? Oh, DFA as well.
Is it DFA?
Your DFA, yeah. They're, I think they've already started on running the planning phases of it, of building a high-capacity fiber cable from Azefontein, which is where the WAX cable is landing, about 160 kilometers north of Cape Town. So that'll provide connectivity into the national backhaul network as well.
Yeah, that should have a nice impact too.
Yeah. So it's all coming together slowly but surely.
Yes, it's good to see.
Yeah, definitely. And these prices should get passed onto consumers eventually. I chatted with Peter Ace, the CEO of Vodacom, on Monday, and he hinted strongly that price cuts on their wireless broadband services are imminent to make them more competitive. He admitted that they had become a little uncompetitive in the market, and I was comparing their prices to Cell C's, not their specials, but their regular quoted bundle prices. And the two products I looked at, they were up to 41% more expensive on Vodacom.
I saw that breakdown. Yeah, it's an enormous disparity. And, everyone certainly recognizes that that's where the next price war is going to be. It's got to be in data and related.
Yeah.
And people are going to have to keep abreast. And hopefully it's going to cause some aggressive attempts at undercutting between the networks. And consumers ultimately should be the ones who benefit.
Mm-hmm. Great, Craig. I've just realized we're way over time for an ad break, so we'll be back right after these messages.
The Vox Superphone and your ADSL line go together like taxis and rush hour.
Ah!
But we do give a hoot. Now you can use your ADSL for more than just surfing. With the Superphone, you can call any phone, anywhere, using your ADSL line. You save money, earn rebates, and box-to-box calls are free. No contracts, just plug and play. Your ADSL and the Vox Superphone. It's the perfect combination. Make the most of your ADSL. Visit voxsuperphone.co.za.
After the advent of the telephone, it took mankind 70 years to invent the color television. And yet, it only took the next 23 years to invent lasers. The internet. To put a man on the moon. It begs the question, what will the business world be like in the next 23 years? Wherever your business is at, Telkom Business will be there with you. Telkom Business.
Virtual Access, ECN's latest cost-saving telecom service. Virtual Access is a single 0860 number, providing your customers with national access to your company, no matter how many branches you have or where your customers are calling from. If you are currently using or plan to use an 0860 number, you need to talk to ECN. Virtual Access is the best price single national number offering in the market. For more, visit ecntelecoms.com. ECN, lowering the cost of doing business.
Welcome back to Talk Central, the business technology podcast brought to you by the editors at techcentral.co.za. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm here with Craig Wilson. How's it, Craig?
Yeah, good. Thanks. And you, Duncan?
Good. Thank you. Craig, you've been following some developments on the international market in international news this week. The first you wanted to chat about was Google Wallet. What is that?
Well, Google Wallet seems to be one of the first forays into finance services from someone like Google or someone who's traditionally not much of a financial background. It's based on those proximity systems that they're putting into a lot of Android phones now or plan to. I'm trying to remember what the acronym is.
NFC. Near field communication.
That's the one. Mm. And this is they've been testing and I believe are just rolling out the first phones carrying it, and they're still testing the system, but it's meant to go live in the next week, I believe. And they've partnered with a couple of banks. It's only in America at the moment, most notably Citibank, I think. But there is already a lot of worry about it. A lot of people are concerned about security. Obviously, there are PIN measures, and one of the benefits of it being phone-based is that should your phone get stolen, you can make a call to a single number and basically shut down your account in the same way you'd cancel a credit card. But PayPal have immediately leapt up with a lawsuit. Because it appears that Google recently hired a former PayPal exec and put him deliberately in a department where he would be encouraged to, as they put it, divulge trade secrets about PayPal's plans to enter this exact same market and launch a very similar product.
What was that about? Do no evil?
Yeah, it's quite. But that's no surprise. I mean, everyone, you know, everyone suing everyone. There are so many ongoing lawsuits.
Yes.
But it'll be curious to see what the uptake of this sort of thing is. I think there's a lot of potential for cell phones to become payment methods.
Mm.
Obviously, in countries like ours, I think cash will continue to have life for perhaps longer than it would necessarily in the first world. But it's interesting to see this NFC technology actually being used. Yeah. And I think, as we said last week, we spoke about the local operators potentially applying for their own banking licenses.
Yeah.
This is the sort of first concrete step I've seen in that direction that suggests people are going to be hopping on this bandwagon very shortly.
Yeah, for sure. I think everyone's excited about NFC. I don't think a lot of guys have figured out exactly what the business model is going to be around it yet. But chatting again to Peter Ace from Vodacom, he was saying that they're keen to put NFC technology into SIM cards for devices that aren't NFC enabled, which could give it mass market adoption very quickly. I'm not quite sure how that would work.
No, me neither.
But
and it would be slightly annoying, as it was when everyone had to change over to 32K SIMs from the previous 16K ones.
Yes, that's right.
But as you said, I mean, if they can do it, then it removes the main obstacle to widespread adoption, which is that for a lot of it, you need an NFC-capable device or a smartphone or similar.
Mm.
And obviously here, that eliminates quite a lot of the consumer market, especially the low end, which is enormous. But if they can manage that, then uptake should be quite widespread.
Mm.
In the same way that it's a challenge or similar to the M-Pesa products we were talking about.
It's interesting how companies like Google and Apple and Microsoft and all the rest of them are suddenly coming into direct competition with the mobile operators, and the mobile operators are going into competition with the banks,
indeed,
etc. I wonder how long it's going to be before one of the banks buys a telecoms company. Actually, FNB already kind of offers telecom services through the FNB Connect division.
Yeah, indeed.
They offer broadband and free YouTube at the moment, I see.
Well, this is it. They're all looking for other ways. Yeah.
To grow their businesses,
indeed, yeah. Especially in the face of other aspects of their businesses shrinking. Arguably, Google already know what you browse, and they know a lot of what you buy, but knowing how much you spend, what you earn, exactly how much comes through your bank account, it's all a little bit potentially alarmist. But as you said, do no harm. We hope for the best.
Yeah, for sure.
And we hope for stringent regulations to tie in. I think that's the other thing. It would be convincing the end user that it's actually a safe alternative to traditional banking and credit cards.
Yes. Yes. The other international news, Craig, you picked up this week was a deal between Facebook and Spotify?
Well, it's not entirely confirmed, but it seems incredibly likely that Facebook are going to collaborate with Spotify and offer some of their services through the site, which, again, it's another one of these expanding their business and trying to get a finger in every pie possible. I think I've been following a lot of talk about streaming services, and I think particularly as data becomes more available and on mobile devices and cloud computing becomes a more popular solution for storing your own media, things like Spotify and subscription-based services are really going to put pressure on the labels.
Mm.
I think the idea of paying a minimal subscription fee and having access to all the music ever made.
Yes.
Is the way we're heading, rather than having to buy individual tracks.
Yeah, yeah. And Facebook with 600 million users, I mean, that gives them a massive market instantly.
Particularly as so much of that is a youth market.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, Amazon's offering a streaming service. Apple is rumored to be about to introduce a streaming service. So the whole space is getting really interesting at the moment.
Indeed, one of the complaints levied against Amazon's offering, though, is that it also requires a piece of third-party software from them, and that it's not entirely browser-based.
Yeah.
But I think these services, they're going to see a lot more of them. And obviously, a lot of the major labels are reluctant, but... I think those with the foresight are going to realize this is something they're going to have to do. Otherwise, they could kiss a lot of potential revenue goodbye. I mean, I think the model now has to move to selling large amounts of content for very small fees to actually get people to be prepared to pay. And yeah. they will only pay for convenience, but people don't have to pay for media anymore, and it's very difficult to convince them to do so. And better make a small amount of money from a large number of subscribers than nothing, and encourage people to just pirate instead.
Cool. And then lastly, you wanted to chat about Mac Defender and the Apple malware problem.
I did, yeah. Obviously, lots of Windows users chuckling and lots of Mac fanboys and girls going, oh, whatever, and being dismissive.
Yeah.
There was a problem with a piece of malware recently that suggested that your Mac was infected, and offered to let you download an antivirus called Mac Defender, and then promptly said that your computer was riddled with viruses and the only way to get rid of them was to put in your credit card details. So obviously, like a 419, this does target a specific kind of user.
Yeah, low IQ user.
Yes, indeed. Which, of course, disparagingly, some Windows people say is the perfect Mac user. But
let's not go there.
No. In fairness, though, as you said, Macs have been traditionally more secure, and the interesting thing about it is I think that... there's a lot of talk that we'll be seeing more of this, and we'll be seeing more attacks levied at Mac products, in part because of their increasing popularity and their increased market share.
Yeah.
I mean, while they were a lot more niche, it didn't make sense to bother trying to write malicious software for Macs, because why go after Mac users when you can go over after 90% of the market by designing your malicious software for Windows?
Yeah.
So I think that'll be interesting to see. The other response to it, of course, was Apple's incredibly slow response. Apple at first said nothing about Mac Defender, and took a couple of weeks before they issued an official announcement and instructions on how to remove it. Fortunately, of course, there are so many Apple forums, and the new users are very hands-on, so it was possible to find information on how to remove them quite quickly.
Yes.
But otherwise... Apple were reluctant to respond, and a lot of people have been critical of them for that.
Yes, yes. Good. Craig, I think we should probably wrap it up there.
Yep, super.
Great to have you in the studio, and looking forward to you starting on the 1st of June.
Thank you, as am I. And I'm looking forward to next week's podcast too.
Great. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can email us at info@techcentral.co.za. And we apologize for all the crashing and banging during this episode. We'll try and minimize it next week. But Craig, thanks again, and we hope you enjoy the show, and we'll chat to you next week. Cheers.